Cavalcade of Kings. Under this inspiring title, conjuring up as it does in the mind's eye the pageantry, the drama and romance which threads itself through the history of the British Empire, we will, through the magic of radio, relive great scenes from the lives of England's kings and queens. No imagination, however fertile, however fantastic, could create fiction more thrilling, more dramatic, more romantic than these true stories of the rulers of England, which from a tiny island of warring tribes became the mightiest empire on the face of the globe. At the head of this noble cavalcade rise Edward the Elder, the first king of all England. Edward was born about the year 877 Anno Domini. He was the son of Alfred, one of the noblest rulers that ever sat upon a throne, and who, when our story opens, lies dying from a painful disease which had tormented him all his life. He has summoned his son Edward and his daughter Ethelfleda to his bedside.
The end is very near, Edward, my son, and ere tomorrow dawns, you will be king of the West Saxons. Be gentle when there is need of gentleness. Be strong when there is need of strength. Guard the peace of our people while peace is possible, but fight to the death of foemen who assail our land. Above all, be true in word, thought, and deed, for in truth lies the path to greatness. And the great king is the one whose first and last thoughts are for the welfare of his people. And remember, Edward, it is good for our people that they should be as free as their own thoughts.
I will remember, my father. My whole life will be devoted to my people, to my country, and to the ideal which I cherish.
And what is that ideal, my son?
The uniting of all the tribes of England as one people with but one king.
A great king is not necessarily one who rules over a mighty kingdom, my son. No one that has thousands of soldiers and many ships. He alone is great who rules his people justly.
But, father, think what it would mean if the peoples of this land were united instead of being divided into rival warring factions, each tribe hating the other, constantly struggling to overthrow each other. Whilst this eternal strife continues, England will forever be at the mercy of invaders.
And what do you think of your brother's plan, Ethelfleda?
I agree with it with all my heart, my father. And so does my husband Ethelred, who rules Mercia. We have both made a vow to form an alliance with my brother Edward when he becomes king of the West Saxons, so that we might work together to bring about the unity of the English people.
I am content, my children. And now, Edward, call your son Athelstan to my side. I would like to buckle this sword around my grandchild's body with my own hand.
I will call him, father. Athelstan! Athelstan!
Yes, my father?
Come, my child. Your grandfather is asking for you.
I'm here, grandfather.
Come closer, my child, that I may look at you. Oh, such hair of gold, such honest gray eyes, such straight limbs and sturdy body. What would you like to be when you grow to man's estate, Athelstan?
A soldier and a king like you, grandfather. I would like to sail in the ships you've built to other lands and conquer them for England, so that my people will call me Athelstan the Great, even as they call you, my grandfather, Alfred the Great.
Tell me, what else you'd like to do?
I would like to sing and play the harp like you, and do good deeds for England as you've done, grandfather.
'Tis well, my child. I am satisfied that you are indeed worthy to wear this sword, which I have had made especially for you.
A sword, grandfather? To wear for my very own self?
No, Athelstan. A sword for you to wear for England. Help me, Edward. And you, Ethelfleda.
Father.
Raise me from the bed, that I may buckle this sword around his body with my own hands.
Gentle, Edward. Is that comfortable, my father?
Yes, my daughter. Come, Athelstan. This sword set in golden scabbard, suspended from a gem-studded girdle, I give to you. Just buckled about you. Promise me you will unsheath it only to defend the weak or in the cause of justice or against a foeman of your country.
I promise, grandfather.
His hell, my dear children, all my life I have striven to live worthily, and I've hoped when death should overtake me that I would leave to the men who came after me a remembrance of good works done. Call you all and do the same, and remember, duty to our people comes first, and seek death before dishonor.
Father, my dear father.
Courage, my sister. Father, we both swear to serve our country faithfully and well. We swear to try and rule it as wisely and as nobly as you have done. And we hope that when our time comes, we will leave its peoples united in peace, love, prosperity, and freedom.
Then I die content.
And so, in the year 899 Anno Domini, Edward the Elder ascended the throne of the West Saxons. And though a vigorous and active ruler, he clung desperately to his father's policy of peace. A rising of the Danes on his northern frontier and an attack by a pirate fleet on the southern coast in 910 forced him to reopen the war which had ended 4 years previously in Alfred's victory at Hastings. In 912, his sister's husband, Ethelred, died, leaving her the sole ruler of Mercia. We now find Edward and his sister forming plans for the systematic reduction of Danish power in England.
My sister, we can and we will conquer these fierce Norsemen from Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, who invade our land from the sea, who plunder and burn our towns, murder our people, or sell them into slavery. We must destroy these heathen worshippers of Thor and Woden, whose special prayer are our abbeys and the holy monks, or they will destroy us.
I am ready, my brother.
It might take a long time to accomplish our objective. Years, perhaps.
What if it takes a lifetime, my brother? So long as we do accomplish it and set our people free.
The Danes, hoping to draw Æthelfleda away from her objective, raided Middle England. But she never turned from her purpose, and conquering Derby turned south and forced Leicester to surrender. Æthelfleda then closed in on the five boroughs in the north, and Edward took Bedford, Huntington, and Southampton in the south. Then followed East Anglia and the surrender of the Danes at Stamford, Nottingham, and Lincoln. In the midst of these triumphs, however, Æthelfleda was killed. Her glorious victories only matched by those of Edward himself. Edward then took Manchester, and to complete his conquest, he advanced upon Northumbria, the Anglo-Saxon kingdom, intending to make its ruler subject to himself. He is now camped with his army close to his objective, and we hear him addressing his soldiers.
Men of Wessex, you have served me loyally, bravely, and well. You have courageously fought by my side through this long campaign against the Danes. We have conquered the Dogs in the south, the east, and the west, and my royal sister gained many brilliant victories over them in the north. But she fell in battle, giving her life for England, leaving me to complete her work. We have yet to conquer Northumbria, and our conquest might be dearly won, for Northumbria is a powerful kingdom. But with right on our side, and the souls of my royal father and my sister watching over us, guarding us, praying for us, we will win the battle, which will bring freedom and unity to our people. England will become one kingdom, ruled by one king. Our land will grow mighty and glorious, safe in the security of her united strength. Go now, men of Wessex, and rest, for tomorrow the final struggle for freedom begins.
Sire, sire.
Yes, what is it?
A body of horsemen ride this way, sire.
Take the guards and have the horsemen stopped and questioned.
It shall be done, sire.
Who can it be, father?
We shall soon learn, Athelstan.
Some treachery, I suppose.
I hardly think so. It would be a foolishness on the part of our enemies to walk straight into a den of Wessex lions.
Nevertheless, I'll keep my hand ready on the hilt of my sword.
You still wear it, Athelstan?
Yes, father. And I've kept my promise to him who gave it me when I was but a child.
Tis well, my son.
Sire, the horsemen are some of the followers of the kings of Northumbria. The Scots and the Britons of Strathclyde. They come with their masters in peace.
Tell their leaders I will give them audience. Conduct them here.
At once, sire.
Father, what can it mean?
But one thing, Athelstan. Peace. They come this way.
Edward, king of the West Saxons, I, the king of Northumbria, salute you.
And I, the king of the Scots, also salute you.
As do I, the king of the Britons of Strathclyde.
Since you come in peace, I bid you welcome.
Sire, we not only come in peace, but we come in subjection. What use for us to pit ourselves against such a mighty conqueror as the son of Alfred? And on behalf of the people of Northumbria and the Scots and the Britons of Strathclyde, whose kings have elected me, spokesman for them, we beg to submit ourselves to you and agree to be governed by you and to accept you as our father and our Lord King.
Amen.